Good morning, New Hope. Happy Sunday. Today, as you've just heard, I'm going to be speaking to you from Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9, talking about joy and peace in God and unity with one another. So as context, this chapter is from the book called Philippians, which is in the New Testament. It was written by Paul, who is an apostle of Jesus Christ, and it was a letter that he wrote to a church in Philippi. It's one of many letters that Paul wrote to churches in the region to encourage them and teach them and challenge them and help them grow in their faith in Christ. This letter in particular he wrote while in prison in Rome, so in pretty difficult circumstances, with a lot of uncertainty about his future. And before getting to this section, he was telling the church to stand firm in God through their faith in Christ. And now talks specifically about a dispute between a couple of members in the church, and then talks broadly, broader teachings about Christian living. So I'm going to reread the passage for us to let us soak us up. Soak it up a little bit, and then unpack the wisdom that Paul has for us. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, to help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose name are in the Book of Life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So, in summary, he tells a couple of members of the church who are in a disagreement with each other, we don't know the context, just that they are in an argument, he tells them to agree and asks others in the church to help them be reconciled to one another. He says twice to find our joy in God, to give our worries to God, because God is near. He says to let our gentleness be evident to all. One other way that gentleness is translated is as sweet reasonableness. It's relating to people in a way that's characterized by love, gentleness, patience, meekness, as opposed to living in relationships characterized by a sense of duty or a strict sense of right and wrong. It's supposed to live out of love. And he says to think about what's good and put it into practice. And what stands out to me in these teachings is how seamlessly they interweave all of our different relationships. Talks about unity within the church and then rolls straight into talking about finding our joy in God and finding our peace in God by giving our worries to him. Talks about a relationship to the world, that our gentleness should be evidence. And this is wrapped up in the relationship that we have with God and our unity with one another. And it's similar to teachings of Jesus himself earlier in the New Testament. He mentions, if you're going to talk to the Father and you realize that you're in a dispute with your brother, go and resolve that dispute before you talk to the Father, because that relationship matters to your relationship with God. And here in this passage, we see that again, all of the relationships are intertwined and their health depends on one another. The picture it gives me is of a flower. It gets its warmth and light and energy from the sun and then has a root system underground to get all of its nourishment from the soil, with the sun being God's and their joy and our peace from God's, the root system being the church, and then bees come and collect pollen from the flower to take to the rest of the flowers in the meadow. But if anything within that breaks down, if the flower doesn't have enough light, then it can't sustain the roots. And if the roots aren't strong, or there isn't enough nutrient in the soil, then the leaves don't have the nutrients it needs to be able to photosynthesize to get the energy from the sun. And if the entire plant is unhealthy, then it won't produce the pollen for the bees to take to all of the other pollinators. So it's all interconnected. And key to all of this in Paul's letter is finding joy in God and giving our worries to God. He repeats it twice, rejoice in God. And earlier in the book as well, he says it again, rejoice in God. And really, the entirety of Philippians is really focused on finding joy in God in the midst of difficult circumstances. I think when things are going well in our life, it becomes easy to find joy in other things, in our work, in our possessions, in our relationships, our friendships, in our money, in our vitality and our health. But then as things start to go wrong, and we can't find our joy in those things anymore, we're left to a sense of despair and hopelessness. And repeatedly what Paul says is, instead of finding our joy in other things, find our joy in God. Think about him and his goodness and his love, his steadfastness, and place our joy in that, because that joy won't be shaken by circumstances around us. He says, do not be anxious about anything. Instead, present your request to God. That verse in particular I struggle with a bit. As someone who struggles with anxiety, I read that and say, well, how do I simply stop being anxious? How do I just give that to God? But I think what Paul is saying here is actually quite a simple invitation. He's not saying to stop worrying. He's saying to give those worries to God. So for me, when I'm trapped in worry, it's just a whirlwind of thoughts ruminating and catastrophizing. And frequently I might talk at God or with a vague awareness that God is listening. But it's a completely different thing to instead talk to God. To simply say, God, I am worried right now. Whether that's about finances or health or work or unrealistic expectations around you, all Paul says is turn directly to God and tell God you're worried. And he takes it a step further. He says, by prayer and petition. So, dear God, I am worried. Please would you be at work in this situation, whatever that looks like. And he says, with thanksgiving. So, dear God, I am worried. Please be at work. Thank you that you listen, that you care, that I have security in Christ. Right now, I don't really feel like I have that much security, and I don't quite understand what that means, but thank you that you tell me. It's there. And that's it. Maybe we do that once this week. We get trapped and worried, and we remember to turn to God and say, God, I'm worried. Maybe next week we don't remember to do that at all. Maybe the next week we remember a couple times. maybe a few times the next week, and maybe eventually we're remembering to do it every day. It's all okay. A talk I listened to recently, the speaker said she likes to use the word formational practices instead of spiritual disciplines. Formational because it's really just looking at what are the small things we do each day, which either form us more into the image of Jesus or more into the image of the world. And practices because they're things we're practicing. We could be absolutely terrible at them, but that's fine. It's practice. And ultimately, all of this is only possible because of Christ. In each of his letters, Paul talks about our transformation in Christ before he talks about how we should live. Because ultimately, we aren't called to live right. We are called to live in Christ. The good news is that Christ sacrificed his own life on a cross, giving us open and direct access to God. The way we live our life or the practices we adopt don't give us that access. We have that access through Christ. Because of that, we are invited to a different lifestyle, and because of that, we can step into that lifestyle. But it's really an invitation, not a command. So I encourage each of us this week to try just in one moment in the busyness and the worry to turn that internal dialogue into a simple and direct conversation with God. Telling him that you're worried, asking him for something specific, and giving some thanks. With a heart of deep gratitude or with a heart of sorrow and a mind full of distraction, either is fine. We're still invited to give thanks. And if you don't know Christ, you don't know Jesus, I would encourage you to ask questions and get to know. There's a course called Alpha, which is a really great opportunity to have an open discussion with other people and ask questions in a safe environment, grapple with things on your own terms, and be able to form your own conclusions. Or just ask a friend, or you can ask God directly. And if you don't have Christ in your life, but you wish he was there, just ask. All you have to do is invite him in, and he will come. So to wrap this up, I'd like to read a verse from chapter 1 of Philippians, verse 9. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. I pray that each of us this week be able to step a little bit more fully into the love that God has to offer us, so that that can overflow into unity in our relationships with one another and gentleness in the way we engage with the rest of the world. Amen.